today, we'll have Kimberly's November trip report. That's coming up on this episode 159 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com and the owner of Prep School Travel. If you want to book a trip, you can always do that through one of the agents that I have chosen to be on the team. Welcome to this episode. It is yet another trip report, and I know we've had several of those in a row lately, but people like them and they're popular. So I assume that's a good thing for most of you. Plus they're a lot longer. So if you happen to want to listen for more than 20 or 25 minutes, then these are a good deal for you. As always, just a reminder to follow on social media, look for WDW Prep School on the platform of your choice and you will find me there. And I look forward to chatting with you. I don't want to waste too much time before we get into today's episode. I do want to mention that as you listen to the report afterwards, you may hear some frustrations that Kimberly had with her trip and some things that didn't go as well as she had hoped. These are very similar to things that I experienced on my first trip, and the reason that I created the six-step planning process was to sort of try to get around some of those on future trips and to help you all do the same. So just listen for that as you hear her post-trip report. Without any further ado, here is Kimberly. Welcome to the podcast, Kimberly.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk to you live after following you online and listening to you and just loving what you do. So I'm excited to be a little bit of a part of that.
Yes, I'm glad to have you. So I am interviewing you before your trip. We are talking right now on November 3rd. What are your trip dates?
My trip dates are Monday, November 6th through Monday, November 13th. So we'll actually have 6 days, not including those travel days, kind of at the parks and staying on site.
How did you decide to go during that week?
So the time is kind of a complicated two or threefold question and answer. So I am going with my family, which is myself, my husband, and our 2-year-old, almost 3-year-old son, and then my in-laws are driving down and we are flying. When thinking about going to Disney, since my son was born, we wanted to go before he was 3 because of the free before 3 deal. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to go over the Halloween or Christmas time frame. It was kind of a dream to go catch both. But looking at the calendars, looking at your recommendations for, you know, the busy times, thinking about our work times, we held off on Halloween, also being worried that my son might be scared of that and decided to go at the beginning of kind of the Christmas time frame. So that's why we picked those dates.
Yeah, I'm always fascinated by the dates because before I had a site, I really only planned based on school schedules, which I realized you're not into yet. And so in my mind, it was like you either go at spring break or you go in the summer, and that's kind of it. But obviously, people go all year round. And so I'm always curious what the criteria is that goes into that. You're going to love the holiday decor, I think. And I've been seeing all the pictures of Hollywood Studios being decorated, which is unusual. It's the first time that they've looked so pretty.
So, yes, I'm so excited.
Yes, so that'll be nice. And you mentioned it's your husband, 2-year-old, and your in-laws. Where are you all staying?
We were looking at the Value Resorts, decided to stay with Art of Animation. We're going to be in a Finding Nemo suite. And it's interesting because I thought, oh, we'll stay in a suite. The whole family can stay together. And they're really made for, you know, parents and kids. And I have, a set of in-laws. So we've got kind of 2 separate adult units that would like a little privacy now and again. So my in-laws will be staying in a Little Mermaid room down the way. We picked the Finding Nemo suite because it's closest to kind of the main hall and food. And we really like that theming as well for my son. Just realizing that the space for sleeping was, you know, kind of a private bedroom with a bath and then an extra bath with public space for sleeping. And we didn't think that would work well with my in-laws. So we each have our separate areas.
Yeah, that might have been a little awkward. I've heard of people doing Art of Animation, Finding Nemo suite, and a room at Pop Century because there's a bridge that kind of connects the two. And so that's another option. Okay. But I think you're going to enjoy Art of Animation. Hopefully we'll find out when you get back.
Yes.
All right, so let's start going through your trip plans. How did you decide to plan out your daily plan, like how many days in each park and that kind of stuff?
Sure. So like I said, we have, I think, like 6 days of fun time, not including the travel time that it's going to take on those Mondays. So we did purchase just a 4-day ticket and then our extra magic of the Christmas party. So that'll be an extra day where we will arrive early for Magic Kingdom. And then 1 day off in kind of the middle of the trip. This is not my first trip to Disney World. I think the only person that's will be their first trip in my party is actually the toddler, but we're all coming at it from that perspective of being there for him. So it's so unusual for me, and I feel very anxious about it as a mom trying to get this all scheduled. And so thinking about, you know, the dining reservations, character meals, and fast passes, it's all based around what might work best for a toddler. When I scheduled this, he was very much taking naps. He's not doing that much anymore, but I think we'll still follow your recommendation of taking breaks in the middle of the day. So we're going to start out by going to Magic Kingdom on Tuesday. And then Epcot on Wednesday. Thursday, we'll go to, I think, the second day of the one of the first Very Merry Christmas parties. And Friday is our rest day. We do have some reservations that day for a character meal at Chef Mickey's. And we each are taking a date night. So my husband and I are going to California Grill that night. And the night before in Epcot, my in-laws will take a date night at Via Napoli restaurant at Epcot. It is their 35th anniversary, I believe, they're celebrating during this time frame. So kind of another reason we picked the time.
Yeah, they've been married as long as Epcot's been open. I think, yeah, Epcot just had its anniversary.
Oh, excellent. That aligns.
Cool. So I was taking notes. You said Magic Kingdom is your first park day, then Epcot, and then Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. Then yes. A rest day that includes Chef Mickey's.
Yes.
And then what?
And then on Saturday, we're going to go to Animal Kingdom. I felt like that might be the least busy park for a Saturday. Mm-hmm. We also have a reservation Saturday morning for Bon Voyage Adventure Breakfast at, where is that located? At the Boardwalk. So yeah. I think transportation there might be kind of interesting. My in-laws are driving and we are flying. So we will have a car accessible, but I might also look at the minivan or Uber, you know, Lyft transportation, because it doesn't seem like there's a direct route between Art of Animation and Boardwalk at 8:05 in the morning.
No, there isn't. That is one of the tricks to getting there. But that you're eating there the morning you're going to Animal Kingdom?
That's correct.
Okay. And then the day after Animal Kingdom Day, do you have one more park day?
Yes. So that'll be the last day there before we head out Monday morning, and that will be at Hollywood Studios. I'm also nervous about that. We didn't want to end our trip on a rest day, even though it might have been best for it being a weekend. So we're going to Hollywood Studios, which is my favorite park, and we have jam-packed things all day long.
Okay, good. And you mentioned a couple dining things when you were going through that, including you're doing date nights, which I love. That's one of the benefits of three-generation travel, is you can kind of switch off like that. And
absolutely.
I love that you chose California Grill. It happens to be a favorite.
Yes, at your recommendation.
Yes, it's especially good for adults. And so when you started looking at the details of planning your days, are you focused mostly on things that your son's going to like, or are you trying to incorporate things that the adults will like as well?
I'd say mostly on things my son will like, because our fast pass reservations are mostly things that he can attend. We do have 5 character meals. I think they're all breakfasts. When I have been in the past a couple times, that's what we enjoyed the most. I think my son will enjoy meeting characters a lot, and rather than standing in line, doing it, you know, while we're at a table, I think sounds like much more fun.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I don't think there's any wrong answer to that. For instance, our first trip, we thought it was going to be our only trip. Ha ha ha. turned into a bit of an addiction. But because we thought it was our only trip, we tried to do the big rides as well. And so there was a lot of like switching off and taking turns and that kind of stuff. But later on, when I realized it wasn't going to be our only trip, I started doing trips focused just on the young kids. And that was fun too. So either way can work. So if you're focused mostly on things that your son can do, does that mean that you anticipate that going on these trips will be a regular thing and eventually you'll all get to do the bigger rides?
Yes, I think so. And, you know, I know Toy Story is being built, more Star Wars things are being built. So I think that will affect the timeline. You know, he is going to be three soon, so we're doing it now while he's two. And I think with a budget and when things are being built, probably every 2 years or so, an ultimate goal of going on a Disney cruise as well.
Oh, good. That's the next step up for a lot of people. So when you, speaking of rides and how you were planning your time, when it came time to make fast passes, how did that go for you?
It went well. My husband and I both woke up early and logged on. I had more luck on my wireless laptop than he did on his hardwired computer to catch everything on there. We again focused on things that my son would like. So in Magic Kingdom, we've got a Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin, Enchanted Tales with Belle, and we did get a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train that I don't think he'll be able to get on. So we might try a rider switch, or might just hand off with the other adults there.
And for anyone who may not know, and you do know because you're in the middle of planning this, when kids are under three, they don't need a ticket, but that also means they don't get fast passes. But they do get to go with you. So if you have a fast pass, they can go with you on the ride. Some people may not know that. So I just wanted to mention it. Okay. And I'm kind of skipping around here as I think of questions. You mentioned that your in-laws are going to have a car because they're driving. How are you getting to Disney World from the airport?
So that is another pain point of mine. I have contacted Orlando Transportation by Mike, and I think that's the route we will be going. You know, I had waited a significant time for the Magical Express in the past, and feeling really nervous about first time flying with a toddler, I just wanted to get to the park as soon as we can. So I'm going to go with that route. You know, my in-laws will be there, but you know, they don't know that area well. And just to save some stress on everyone's part, I think we're just going to take that transportation.
Yeah. I know a lot of people like Magical Express with little ones because Disney will handle the luggage and all that kind of stuff. But my opinion, because Mike picks me up on most of my trips, and he helps me with my bags. And some of my bags are really big and heavy, and so it's just really helpful to have somebody there to handle it. And you get going really quickly to your resort. You don't have to wait, which is really nice. I hope you enjoy your ride. Yes. And let's see. Are you guys using the dining plan on this trip?
We are, yes.
Okay. And are your in-laws and you are all using the dining plan?
We are.
Okay. Good to know, because I know that takes an extra level of planning to make sure that you use all your credits.
Yes.
So that'll be good, hopefully. We'll have to see how you like it. And are you getting Memory Maker?
We are.
You are getting Memory Maker. Good. That seems to be kind of a standard thing people do nowadays.
Yes. You know, when I had been there in the past, we'd had it, but now I see so many of like the extra magic where you see Tinkerbell and things in there. So I'm excited about that, as well as, you know, some of those booths you've been publishing about lately. So maybe try some of those out.
Yes, the photo booths. I actually have never used those until the most recent trip. They're really, they're cute. And they're kind of, for those of us who, you know, who are old enough to remember, we used to do those all the time and print out the strips. And now it's just like a digital version of that. So the photo booths are really cute. Okay. So, it sounds like you have a really great plan. Are there things that you have planned that we haven't talked about yet?
I did realize just in the last week that I didn't make any FastPass reservations for the day of the Christmas party. So checking out your recommendations, I did make a FastPass that day for Haunted Mansion. And also thinking about your recommendation for little ones, kind of skipping the line so we can skip some of the scary stuff. I think we might try that tactic as well.
Okay, so let's talk about the Christmas party fast passes. So, because people get in arguments with me about this all the time. So, you have 4-day tickets, and you already got your fast passes for that because you're going to each of the parks one day. And in addition, you have a Christmas party ticket, and you were able to get fast passes starting at like 4 o'clock when you get to go in.
Right. Yeah, ours is for 4:40 is when the best time frame worked out.
Yeah. So, I think the trick is if anyone wants to do this, you have to make all your fast passes with your regular ticket first, so your 4-day ticket. Then you can go back in and you can make party fast passes with your party ticket. That's what I meant to say. And since you can't get in until 4 o'clock, you should make your fast passes, you know, starting around that time. So that's very helpful.
Yes,
I'm glad you're able to get that done. Okay, well, that sounds like a great trip, and a lot of the choices that you've made, I think, are going to be really great for your son. So I hope you have a great time.
Yeah, thank you. One other thing I wanted to mention is that, you know, I'm worrying about the sleeping arrangements. My son still sleeps in a crib happily without jumping out, so I don't plan to take him out. So I was looking into, you know, what would be available at Disney. Since my in-laws are driving, we are taking a pack and play. I had a cot I was going to borrow, but I think he's comfortable with being caged in. So we're going to do that, and I want to talk more about the setup in the room and how that works out. We also are having them bring us a stroller. He doesn't like strollers at all, but I know it's going to be a long day, so we'll possibly carry that with us or maybe end up renting one if we don't want to drag it around all day. So interested to talk to you more about how that ends up rolling out.
Yeah, I'm going to make a note to ask you about that because I'm curious. I had a two-year-old when my son was two. He also did not like strollers, but he certainly did at Disney World because, holy moly, that's a lot, that's a lot of walking. So hopefully your son will enjoy it so you don't have to deal with a two-year-old that is having trouble walking 10 miles a day.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thanks for talking to me, and I look forward to talking to you when you get back.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kimberly.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Welcome home, Kimberly.
Thank you.
So we talked to you before your trip, and your trip dates were November 6th to the 13th. I'm talking to you on November 15th. So you've had a day or two back. How are things going since you got home?
Good. I took off work on the day after we came back, did some laundry, going through photos, and now we're all getting back into the swing of the routine and watching Disney movies for fun times and reminiscent of our trip.
Yes. It's a hard adjustment sometimes when you come back home.
Yes.
You're tired from your trip, and also before your trip, the planning was a big part of your life, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a big change. So let's talk about your trip dates I just mentioned were the 6th through the 13th of November. How did you think those dates worked out for you?
I think it went well. So we went Monday to Monday, but Mondays were actually more of the travel time. So it was kind of like a Tuesday through Sunday park time. We had one day of rest. We attended the Christmas party. As far as the dates go, you know, we got to go to the Christmas party, and the weather actually worked out pretty well. There was 2 to 2.5 days of a little bit of rain here and there, but in Florida, the rain kind of comes and goes, and it wasn't cold. It was great weather. Every time I'd been to Disney in the past, I was sweating a lot. So this time I was not, and I was thrilled about that.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people, including me before a few years ago, always associated Disney with sweating. Disney World was sweating because Florida is hot, like 75% of the year. But if you get to experience it when it's not hot, you'll never want to go back. It's incredible.
Right. Yeah.
So at least you had some of that to compare to. What about crowds?
So I thought that Magic Kingdom was quite crowded. The holiday party, the Christmas party, was actually pretty good. I thought it was less crowded when we attended that party on Thursday, but we had went on Tuesday for our first day in the parks at Magic Kingdom, and I did feel like it was a little bit hard to get around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people do come away from Magic Kingdom almost any time of year thinking it's busy. And if you look at the annual attendance stats, Magic Kingdom has double the attendance of the other parks. So it can be a little tricky because it always has more people no matter when you go. And so even if it's even if it's a low crowd time, relatively speaking, it can feel kind of busy. So let's talk about your trip, get into the details of it. You stayed at an Art of Animation Finding Nemo suite. Your in-laws stayed in a Little Mermaid room. How did you like that arrangement?
We love the resort. The arrangement worked out well. It's similar to, you know, our home situation where the in-laws are not too far away, but we had a more space and we all kind of hung out in our room with the toddler. So we stayed in a Finding Nemo suite. It was kind of to the left of the pool, close to the main hall, close to the cafeteria. Love that. I think one thing I would have done differently maybe is ask for not a poolside room, because there were a few days where we went back to rest or try to take a nap, and it was about the 3 or 4 p.m. timeline when they had kind of a DJ or dance party out at the pool, so it was a little bit loud. But we brought our sound machine with us, so that drowned it out. I thought the theming was great. I mean, you know, my child could walk around the resort. We did the playground. We did the splash pad, checked out all of the other suites and all of the statues and everything outside. Loved all of the art in the main hall. The theming in our room, I thought, was kind of not even as good as the Little Mermaid room that my in-laws stayed in, because my son knew that we were going to a Finding Nemo suite, and he walks in and he's like, "Where's Nemo? Where's Nemo?" So I knew by looking online that Nemo was in the kind of Murphy bed thing over the dining table, but we pulled it down and looked at Nemo and then left it up because we were using that as a table most of the time. So it was kind of funny because he's like, where's Nemo, Mom? Where's Nemo? And Nemo wasn't anywhere, but there were so many details in the Little Mermaid suite that we kind of thought were even more exciting than the Nemo suite.
Yeah, the Little Mermaid rooms are some of the best themed in all of Disney World. Unfortunately, they are all the way on the end, so they're not super close to like the bus stop or the, you know, the food court and that kind of stuff. But they are lovely to look at.
Yes.
So I'm glad that you liked that. The nice thing about, you mentioned this, but the Finding Nemo suites are centrally located. So it does, if you book one, you are more likely to be in a great spot to get to the food court or the buses and that kind of stuff. So that is definitely a perk of those rooms. When you arrived, you flew in and you used transportation by Mike. Am I correct?
Yes, we did. And I believe Mike himself picked us up and we talked a little bit about you and how he had, you know, seen you not long ago. And he was very personable. He told us to get our cameras out when we were going to see the Welcome to Disney World sign. Chatted a lot about, you know, where we're from and what's going on. And it worked out really well. So glad we used that.
Yeah, it's handy. And he'll help you with your bags and you get right to your resort really quickly. Yeah. Once you have a car service, it's easy. It's hard to go to another mode that requires you to wait or takes a little longer. But your in-laws had a car.
Yes.
And
yep, so we.
And is that, I can't remember, is that because they drove there or because they rented one?
They drove there. Yep. From Ohio, they do not like to fly. So they drove and met us there.
Okay. So did you use their car during the trip? And maybe we'll get into that as we start talking about your
plans.
Yeah,
we did not actually. We thought about it a couple times, but you know, it's so convenient to use the transportation on site. We didn't want to have to worry about the car, where it was going and the different plans we had throughout the day. But I mentioned before we wanted to take something special to the boardwalk for our breakfast that one morning, and we ended up taking an Uber. We looked into the minivans, but of course they're only available at the deluxe hotels, not the value resorts. We asked the front desk about it. They said that if you go to the deluxe resorts, you can get a code for it. So when we were actually just traveling around one day, we thought about asking, but we didn't. And I did hear in your last trip report that, you know, it kind of is integrated into the app if you go there, but I do wonder if perhaps you could get a code if you visited the deluxe resort.
Yeah, that's a good, and hopefully they'll get it rolled out to everybody so we wouldn't have to think about it, but that might be a nice little workaround in the meantime. All right, so let's get into the actual day-to-day of your trip. And as you said, yes, your first park day was on a Tuesday, and I believe you went to Magic Kingdom.
We did. Okay. So we started at Magic Kingdom. We took, I do think that the transportation from Art of Animation is great. The dedicated buses are great. And we did take a day of traveling around to some of the other resorts. So noticed, you know, that those buses took a lot more time. So loving that dedicated bus route from Art of Animation. So we had a breakfast at 9:45 at Be Our Guest. And that was really good. My husband and I ordered the quiche. And I think that we both thought it was kind of small. But we loved the theming. We sat in the main middle hall. We checked out the west wing of the Beasts area and more of the ballroom and kind of just checked out everything in the area. But our service was great. They bring out some pastries, and my son's favorite was the cinnamon rolls, as was my husband's. And they asked him to bring more, and they brought us a whole plate of just cinnamon rolls. So the service was good.
Before, I'm glad you like breakfast. I think that's a great breakfast option at Disney World. But before breakfast, because you said it was at 9:45, did you do anything before you had to check in for your reservation?
We did not. We did not get out of the hotel in time that morning to get to the park early enough to do anything.
Okay, so then your park time started after breakfast. So yes. How did that go?
So here's where I talk about trips with a toddler. You know, this is our first day. We got through breakfast, went pretty well. Then we went over to Tomorrowland. My son likes Buzz Lightyear, Toy Story type stuff. So we tried for Stitch. We were in line for that. We also tried to be in line for the Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor. And then we had a fast pass coming up for Buzz Lightyear. So we were all kind of lined up right there. But in those two tries, the one time that for Stitch, my son just didn't want to do it. After we got closer, it was one of the first characters we were going to meet. And then he had to go potty when we were in line, almost to go in the doors at Monster. And I am thinking, like, why are we here? This is going to be horrible. And so that's where I get into the whole, like, here I am for the first time as a mom at Disney, which is much different than just being an adult or a kid being toted along. So all of that happened. But then we did ride the Buzz Lightyear ride, and he just lighted up and loved it. And it happened that Buzz Lightyear was available to meet right outside shortly after, with not quite of a long line. So we met him and got some great photo passes, and then the day started getting better.
Good. And I think that I know a lot of people with little ones have told me that they defined like two or three things that they wanted to accomplish every day with their toddlers, and anything beyond that was a bonus. And I think that, like, that doesn't sound like a lot, but you have to be so flexible, and a lot of things can happen when they're that age. So, for instance, you know, your son was thrilled to ride Buzz Lightyear. So that's a success that you got to do that.
Yes. It was a learning experience for all of us.
Yeah. And, you know, they grew out of it. So
right,
yes. That's the good news. It won't always be like that.
Absolutely. Okay, so then we rode the People Mover, which actually was also one of his favorite rides. And so that was a lot of fun. Then we went to the carousel, which the line wasn't too long there. And then we had a fast pass for Enchanted Tales with Belle, which also he loved very much. All the kids seemed to light up, and it kind of reminds me of, you know, the daycare or school process, because all of the cast members really kind of show the children exactly what to do and where to line up, and they feel really involved.
Yeah, that's a cute one. If your kid likes to be chosen to participate, it's a cute one.
Right.
My son, who turns 16 tomorrow, will never visit that attraction because he was once chosen and was mortified. So I have to take your word for it, because I don't visit that attraction too much anymore.
Sure.
So after sounds like you moved from Tomorrowland to Fantasyland, and that was a success. Did you have more touring time, or did you have to take a break?
We did go back for a nap that day. Yep. And then we had a later in the day fast pass for Mine Train. And I was thinking it would work out well for the timing of nap and to get back. But my son didn't fall asleep for a while, so we missed our fast pass for the Mine Train. And when we did come back, we got to see a little bit of the fireworks. We kind of came back right when they were starting in the midst of it. And then we headed to the Small World ride, which everybody liked really well. And then we kind of looked at what else might be available for the rest of the evening. It was getting quite late. We went over to Fantasyland again, rode Little Mermaid ride, met Ariel. And then we saw some folks heading towards Barnstormer, and the cast members were encouraging us to ride it. So we did. And although my son didn't have a terrible time on it, as soon as he got off, he started crying, because he was probably, you know, it's the first roller coaster he's ever ridden. So it was fun that we did it, though. I'm glad that we got to do some more things in that side of the park, and we ended up going back to other sides of the park when we went to the Christmas party.
Yes, and we'll talk about that in a couple days, or in a couple minutes, because you did it a couple days later.
Right.
So that was
the end of day one.
Okay, that was into day one, and if I'm not mistaken, day two was Epcot.
Yes.
So given that you kind of had a later evening on Magic Kingdom, because you were there, you know, it sounds like into the night, were you up early for Epcot, or did you sleep in a little bit?
Yeah, we were up early almost every day, I think, because we made most of our reservations for character meals at breakfast time. So we had Akershus for breakfast sometime in the 8 o'clock hour, I believe. So we went there, and I loved it. My son loved it. He likes meeting the characters at this point. He'd seen Ariel and Buzz Lightyear from the day before and was excited about that. I think the food there was one of the best breakfast meals we had. It's a part buffet, and they bring the hot food to your table. All the characters were really interactive, all the princesses, and we had a great time at Akershus.
I'm glad you liked it, and I think that what you just mentioned about the food being good points out something, because there have been some other trip reports recently where people ate there for lunch or dinner and didn't like it as much, and the lunch and dinner are a little bit more adventurous, a little bit less popular, but the breakfast is pretty classic and delicious.
Yeah, so we had like really good scrambled eggs, cheesy potatoes, sausage, bacon, and then all of the fruits and pastries from the buffet. So that was one of the best hot and cold meals.
Yes, I'm glad that you enjoyed that. What did you do after breakfast?
So after breakfast, I think Epcot was a tough day as far as planning. We had some fast passes that day for Turtle Talk and for the Frozen ride. And then what was our other one? the Nemo ride, I think, because I just tried to think about the things that my son would like the best. So they ended up being a little later in the day. So we headed over towards England because the one time I'd been in the past, we visited Winnie the Pooh there. Well, Winnie the Pooh is not there any longer, but we did meet Mary Poppins. We went over back towards the middle of the park and met Baymax. And then we had our turtle talk appointment. So we did that. We also rode the Nemo ride and we saw the Pixar movie shorts, which my son loved a lot as well. We spent a little bit of time in the aquarium there during the turtle talk and Nemo ride.
I'm impressed that he liked the Pixar shorts because...
Yeah, I was kind of worried about that. You know, we went back there just for something to do between appointments and he sat and was so excited to see those because, you know, they're the shorter movies. So I think that entertains a younger audience and they did have the 3D glasses and it's the first time he's ever worn those. So he's pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I think it's really underrated, but I don't know that I would have expected your toddler son to enjoy it. So
right.
Good. Yay him.
And the Pixar movies was also local to the Visa cardholder meet and greet. Mm-hmm. And right outside that there's some fountains. So he played in that while we were waiting to go to the meet and greet. And we met Minnie Mouse and Pluto there.
They're cute. And I just, that building is kind of pretty inside and like the Epcot illustrations and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay. After your meet and greet, did you have more time or a break time?
So we took a break again that day. And that is when my son played in the splash pad, which I'm glad we ended up doing, even though he didn't really take a nap. Because the day that we were actually going to just play in the pool more, it got kind of chilly and more rainy out. So we might not have done it that time. So he played in the splash pad, had a great time there. And then without a nap, we head back to Epcot. And during that time, my in-laws stayed at Epcot. And they actually had their date night at Epcot that night. But we met them before their date night to do our fast pass for the Frozen ride. And so we were all in line for about 10 minutes and then it broke down. So we did not get to ride it. We stuck around for a little while. Then, of course, they kind of refunded the fast pass and gave us one that would be good for the rest of the night anywhere. And we had already used up the fast passes for the day at that point. So we had scheduled a fast pass for Illuminations. My in-laws ran off to have their meal at that Italian restaurant. I forget the name of it right now.
Either Tutto Italia or Via Napoli.
That's the one. Yep. And they said they had a great meal there. It was so huge that they could barely get it all down and you get the dessert and everything. So they had a good time there. And while we waited, we met Elsa and Anna. The lines for that weren't long and we couldn't use our fast pass because they didn't accept them. And it was getting so late at that point. You know, we had that fast pass refund and we had nowhere to use it. So at the end of the day, my husband asked at the front desk about it and we were able to get one for the next day because we couldn't use it that night.
But your next day was a Christmas party day.
Right. So okay. I'd scheduled a fast pass for the Haunted Mansion that day. And instead we rescheduled it for Peter Pan's flight because we didn't think my son would like that. And then we were going to try to use our other fast pass. And it ended up that we didn't get to go to any of that because we napped for too long that day.
So let's go back to your Epcot day so we make sure we finish that out. So you... ran out of time to use the fast pass you were given back. And I assume that you went back to your hotel room and your in-laws were still at Epcot for their date night, right?
Well, we did watch Illuminations. So we had signed up for that. So we watched most of that and kind of left, tried to head towards the front of the park before it was over. It's the only time that my son actually fell asleep in the stroller that day. So we got to see most of Illuminations and our my in-laws came and met us during that time.
Okay, so then you left for the night from Epcot. And then the next day, you had it slated where the beginning of the day, I believe you were going to rest. And then in the evening, you were going to go to the Christmas party.
Right, yes. So okay, that was the plan.
All right, so what actually happened?
Yeah, we did do that. We did go to Disney Springs. We had a late lunch reservation for T-Rex Cafe. So we slept in a bit. We were going to go to the Christmas tree trail that day because I'd heard there was the first day it would be open. But when we got there, I could see they were still kind of putting things together in the back, talked to the cast member, and they said the soft opening for cast members only was that night. So we shopped around. We made lightsabers at the the Star Wars store. We had a wonderful lunch, great server at the T-Rex Cafe, sent things home with us, or back to the hotel with us. And I think my son took a ride on the train that they have there, the little kids ride. And then we went back and took a nap. So we were rested up for our Magic Kingdom party that night.
So what time, because you said your son ended up taking a long nap, so you didn't get to do like fast passes and stuff. So what time did you actually arrive at Magic Kingdom?
I think it was around 6-ish because the party starts at 7. So we did get there in plenty of time for the party, but we didn't get to our fast pass that was like 4:45 to 5:45, I think. Mm-hmm. So then when we got to the party, the first thing we did is go see Mickey at Town Square or whatever that's called, where he talks. And that was really fun. So there were some girls in front of us that had talked about how he did a magic trick. He did not do that for us, but I think it's probably because of the age of my child. I mean, he wouldn't have understood the magic trick probably, but he definitely talked and interacted. And so he really lighted up at that interaction.
And how much time did you end up waiting to meet Mickey?
It was probably 15 minutes, maybe 20. I know the time you have recommended in the past, maybe getting fast passes for that. But everybody was really, you know, going into the party doing the Christmas stuff. So we thought it'd be a good opportunity to get in there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you only waited 15 minutes, that's not too bad at all.
No.
So how did you spend the rest of your party time?
So we did some Christmas things, but also just some park things that we missed out on before. We went to the Winnie the Pooh ride. Since my son loves Buzz Lightyear, we did the Tomorrowland Christmas show, which was a big hit. We did catch the Elsa castle lighting that she did, the later one, because there's two, like one before the party starts, so the regular crowd can catch it. Mm-hmm. We rode Peter Pan's flight. And then we had not had dinner. So one of the things that we realized is that most of these places are closing their regular food and just giving out those Christmas treats. So we're asking for kind of like a quick serve recommendation. I think they said, one of the cast members said, well, that you have about three options for quick serve in the park at this time. And we went to the Mexican restaurant, Peco Bill's, I think, and had great food there. But of course, that's kind of way back at the edge of the park, and it was almost time for the fireworks. So we kind of saw the fireworks as we were walking up towards them.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you haven't described spending any time on that side of the park yet. Because you mostly have done Fantasyland and Tomorrowland, and Pecos Bills is often, the opposite side of the park. So, so did you end up doing any attractions on that side of the park?
Nope, not really. By that time, my son was tired. We were watching some of the fireworks. On our way out, we met Santa, though. There was like 5-10 minute wait for meeting Santa, and we hadn't been able to see him when we talked about it for going to the Christmas tree trail. So it was really nice that we got to see him, and he was excited for that. So we did miss out on some of the things on that other side of the park, but with the things that we did do, like we caught Winnie the Pooh and Peter Pan and stuff that day during the Christmas party, and we did get some of those Christmas treats. I felt like it was still worth it to be there with a little bit of a less crowd and just kind of go about what you want to do during the party.
Right. Yeah. And, it's nice that you had a Magic Kingdom day first so that during the party you could decide how you wanted to prioritize your time, because there's certainly a good chance to do rides, but there's also Christmas stuff. So that is, everybody has to plan it out a little differently. So how late did you end up staying at the Christmas party?
So we were there till nearly 11, and my in-laws actually stayed till the end of the late parade there. And because they stayed towards the front of the park, so that they could get out easier, it took the parade longer to get to them. So they were still home pretty late. And then we had a early morning reservation the next day at Chef Mickey. So they were a little tired, but kind of caught up as the day went on.
Okay. So you stayed pretty late. And one of the reasons I asked that is because, with little ones, sometimes that's hard to figure out. Like, do parties make sense? Cause they last till midnight and little ones can't stay up till midnight. And, you know, so people often have to decide if they want to do that. Did your son fall asleep during that time?
He did not. I mean, he is not a good sleeper as it is. And I mentioned that he fell asleep at the Epcot day cause he hadn't had a nap, but this day he did have a nap. So he didn't fall asleep. He did pretty good, actually. But, you know, we might have done some more things in the park, but I felt like he was getting kind of burnt out. So it was time to head towards the buses. So we stopped to meet Santa before we did that. But it was late, but it was doable because we had had a nap.
Yeah. And so You mentioned that the next day you had a Chef Mickey's reservation. What time was that reservation at?
It might have been 8:05 that day. That might have been our earliest one, I think.
Did you, it was this supposed to, is this a park day as well or a rest day
So
overall?
no, yeah, that is the rest day. So that was Friday the 10th. Yep. So that was a rest day. We went to Disney Springs, and then it was my date night for California Grill with my husband.
So how did it go get into the Contemporary at 8:05 a.m. for your Chef Mickey's breakfast?
It wasn't bad. We got on the buses nice and early, and I think we got there like at the exact time we were supposed to be there, and they got us in really well and met all the characters, had a good time. My in-laws got a cupcake for their anniversary. We were celebrating their 35th anniversary, so they had gotten one cupcake there, and then back at Akershus, they had given us three cupcakes. I think they were giving one for like both of my in-laws and my, their grandchild at the time. So it was interesting. You get kind of different treats where you go, depending on what you're celebrating and what they want to share with you, maybe.
And did you get a chance to ride the monorail since you were at the Contemporary?
We did. So that is the day that we kind of went around and toured a couple of the resorts for fun. So after Chef Mickey's, we rode the monorail, and we're trying to debate on the monorail. Where do we want to go? What should we do? Because we don't have a lot of plans the rest of the day. So we went to the Grand Floridian and got off. We kind of looked at all of the things inside there. They have the gingerbread house, checked out just the gift shops and where they have. It looks like that tea party probably. And we decided to take a boat to the Polynesian. Now, we talked to a cast member who was very friendly and said, if you go to the boat, you'll wait and wait and wait because they don't have a good schedule out there. And we said, well, we've got time for that. So we did that and kind of walked around the Polynesian a little bit. And then we took a bus to Disney Springs to try for the Christmas tree trail again. And we waited quite a while for that bus to show up at the Polynesian.
But you eventually did make it to Disney Springs.
We did. Yep. So we got through the Christmas tree trail, and it was really nice because you just give your name, they text you, and then have you come back, within half an hour, and then come back up within 10 minutes of the half an hour text alert. So we got to go have some lunch. We ate at Wolfgang Puck Express, which was one of our favorites. We had a couple of meals there during our time, and got right in, waited maybe 5 minutes to see Santa once we showed up at the text alert reminder.
And you've mentioned a couple of Santa visits. So, are any of these pictures going to be like Christmas cards this year?
Yeah, that's the plan. And it was nice that we had two different sets. So we saw him, the night before at the end of the Christmas party, and then we saw him at the Christmas tree trail. So I need to go back through and see which ones might be best to send out. But my son was kind of like, oh, I've told Santa twice now what I want for Christmas. So he's going to definitely remember what he wants.
Yeah, he's like, he's all over the place.
Yeah.
He is, at least in two places at Disney World. Okay, so this was so you breakfast reservation this, in this morning, and then you did some resorts, then Disney Springs, and then what happened next?
And then we sent my son off to the hotel to hang out and have fun with the grandparents, and we went to our date night. So went home, got a showered, cleaned up, put on nicer clothes, and went back to Disney Springs. We did do those photo pass booths there, so that was a lot of fun, and we got some cute pictures out of that. And then we went over to the California Grill and had a really nice dinner. We talked to a couple of different servers because the server beside us was talking to the couple beside us, and she was recommending which deck or patio to go out on to see, the castle the best. And I didn't realize, when I had to book this a long time ago, I thought maybe we'd be able to see fireworks during that time. I think our reservation was 7:30 or 7:45. Well, that's when the Christmas party is happening, so there wasn't any fireworks going on because they weren't till 10 p.m. at Christmas party times. But we did get to see the castle all lit up, and I think we saw maybe when Elsa came out, or one of the other Mickey shows, actually, probably with just a couple of fireworks going off. So we had a good seat to see that. And when they told us about the different patios, I think there's three of them. So they said the one that's farthest away actually gives you the best perspective to take a picture with the castle. And then the one that's on kind of the far side, so the opposite side, is usually the emptiest. But it was, I mean, chilly out. There wasn't actual fireworks going off. So I think there wasn't really anybody on any of the patios at the time that we went out to check it out.
Yeah, it gets really crowded when the actual fireworks are going off, but otherwise it's just a good view. But
Yeah.
the restaurant itself has a great view of, the lagoon and all that stuff too. How did you enjoy the food there?
It was good. So something interesting, we were going to use our Disney dining plan for the 2 credits there, but we looked at the menu and we had looked at it on the app as well. So it was a little bit different when we got there, and they said that they had just changed out the seasonal menu. So there were like a couple of things, like there was a mushroom soup my husband asked for, and they said, oh, we just took it off yesterday. So when we decided what we wanted, my husband wanted kind of an appetizer for his main course, and I wanted sushi. So it wasn't really going to be to our benefit to use our Disney dining plan. So we just paid for it out of pocket.
So that means that you have other meals to use those credits for. So
right.
I assume that you will make that up in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
The dining plan is a little bit tricky there because, like you, I would order an appetizer and I would order sushi, and that would not necessarily work.
Right.
So, okay. So that, how nice is it to have a break during your trip when you have a toddler?
Yes, that was wonderful. I mean, all in all, I couldn't have done it without my in-laws there. If we have one child and 4 adults, you'd think that it would have been fine, but I was like, oh, okay, I need a break.
Yeah. We, never traveled with, family members that could babysit when we had little ones, but we use on-site childcare and had sitters come to the room just like one night. Cause it's a hard job having a toddler. So it's good refresh. You have to get away. You have to refresh so you can come back to them, you know, cheerful and ready to go for another day.
For sure. Especially if you're both working parents and you're not used to like just dealing with the breakdowns all day. And I think you're like a different parent when you are there at Disney because you're just trying to get through it. So you don't parent the way you might at home where you don't put up with certain things. You kind of just give in, I guess is what I did more when we were at Disney.
Yeah, definitely. It's a different sort of flow with the whole family dynamic.
And you just want to make it a good experience for everyone involved, including everybody around you instead of just your child and yourself. So,
right. So if I'm not mistaken, the next day you had plans to visit Animal Kingdom.
Yes. So that was Saturday and we did have an early breakfast at Boardwalk, also in the 8 o'clock hour. And so we did end up calling an Uber after checking out that minivan wasn't available and checking out the other services, like looked at Lyft and Uber and taxis and decided Uber might be the quickest and cheapest way. And it was a little over $20 or so, and including a tip. So not bad at all. And we had to get the Deluxe XL to carry all of the adults and a car seat. You talk about how you don't know who's going to pick you up, and we didn't, but he was kind and didn't talk a lot to us, but got us where we needed to go right away. And so we were happy with that. And we got to meet, of course, the princesses with their princes, Rapunzel, Flynn, Ryder, Ariel, and Eric there.
And this is the Bon Voyage breakfast that you attended on the boardwalk. And so did you pick that because those particular characters appealed to you?
Yes. Yep. I like Rapunzel a lot, so I wanted to meet her, and we knew my son was already going to be excited about characters, so we went ahead and booked that.
Yeah, and you enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely. The breakfast was good. The server was good. They at our resort, the cast members at recommended that we get waffles. Well, when we got there, they said, oh, well, we took that off the menu a while ago for the adults, but we can make you the kid waffles, so we did that right away.
Yeah, well, that's nice. It never hurts to ask. And it's frustrating that you had some menu changes. Like you had it in your mind what you were going to order, and then you get there and the menu had changed. But I guess that can happen anytime. So I assume that you then took a bus from the boardwalk to Animal Kingdom.
We did. Yep. So that was the Animal Kingdom day. I think it rained the most that day, but I think it worked out really well because the Animal Kingdom, I feel like, is one of the best parks to be in when it rains. I mean, it's kind of more like the rainforest feel. There's plenty of shades and trees. When we parked our stroller, we didn't get it too wet, even though we didn't cover it. We just put the hood up and it just kind of drizzled here and there and the trees were covering things. So we weren't bothered by the rain at all.
And so what was your plan of attack at Animal Kingdom?
So we started doing the Kilimanjaro Safari, and we did not have a fast pass for that. So we did wait a bit, maybe 25 minutes, but it wasn't bad, especially if you go with a toddler in the beginning of the day to wait, then it's not like they're burnt out by the end of the day. So it wasn't bad at all. So we did that, and then right after that, we went on the little train ride that takes you to, I think, the Rafiki thing. We did not do that. We just kind of stayed on the train. I mean, a lot of our trip was about riding boats, trains, buses, planes, and my son loves that part as well. So that was entertaining. And then we did have Fast Pass for the Lion King show, which was wonderful, and the Finding Nemo the musical, which was probably my favorite show. I thought that it was done really well.
Yeah, and your son enjoyed that one as well?
Yeah, so we had done the Nemo and the Crush, and we stayed in the Nemo room, and I imagined he'd be most excited. He really liked that musical. Bubbles came down from the ceiling, so that was interactive. I think overall, though, Buzz Lightyear stuff was probably more of a favorite than the Nemo.
Yeah, it's a great show, as you mentioned, but it's kind of hard to imagine for little kids because there's a person and there's a puppet and, you know, how they work together.
Right. Yeah.
In the show.
So it's probably more interesting for adults to understand all of the puppeteering of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So did you have plans to visit Pandora?
We did not have plans to. We wanted to, and it did not happen at all. So that's okay. My husband and I have never seen the movie, and my in-laws have, and they were interested in stopping by. But we did not have any break times that day, so it did not happen. We went to the Dino Land area, spent a lot of time there. My son loved playing in the Boneyard and the rock pit. It was like a little sand granule rock pit where he just found his element. So of course you go to Disney World and play and stuff you could play with at home. And that's how it works for toddlers. There's some extra magic that I want to note in that land. We did ride the Triceratops spin. Mm-hmm. And then my son really wanted to ride the Primeval Whirl. Well, he's not tall enough for that. So we did talk to the cast member, and that's something that my husband kind of initiated often, talking to cast members with my son so he could understand what was going on or why he wasn't allowed to do something. And they gave us one of those future fast pass things, as well as a free games ticket, which I hadn't heard about before. And they said, you know, take this to any of the games in the Little Dinosaur Land and you can play. So we did that. And he thought that was really the greatest thing that he got a free ticket.
Yeah, that is super cute. I love when they do stuff like that. What kind of dining did you have while you're at Animal Kingdom?
Let me think. We did not book Tusker House. I had went to Disney World once in the past and we had a breakfast there and we weren't too enthused with it. So we did not do that. I can't remember. I didn't take notes of exactly where we ate that day.
Well, I only brought it up randomly about Animal Kingdom because they have good food in general, and I knew you had some extra credits to use, so I didn't know if maybe you had put them to use at Animal Kingdom.
We did not know. We did end up turning some of our dining credits into snack credits towards the end of the trip.
Okay, so that's what we will get to that in just a minute, I guess. So have we gotten through your Animal Kingdom day, or was there more to it?
My husband and I, we got a fast pass for Expedition Everest, and my in-laws did not want to ride it. So we were going to do the rider switch, but they opted out. So we rode it once, and then my son was about ready to be done, but we stopped by Tough to be a bug on the way out, which I knew was risky because I think people think that's scary for kids. But he enjoyed it, and I had heard about the rumbling under the seat, so we made sure he sat on our lap for that. But he seemed to enjoy the rest of it because he does like that movie.
Yeah, yeah, he's a little braver than I would have been at that age because I think that show is kind of scary.
Yeah,
But I'm glad he enjoyed it. And you knew what to expect going in, and a lot of parents don't. So they're always a little surprised that their child is screaming.
Yes.
A lot of people think no height requirement equals good for little ones, and that's not necessarily the case.
Right.
Okay, so that sort of is the end of your Animal Kingdom time, and you went back to your resort?
Yes. Yep. So okay. We left a little bit earlier than it had closed and got a good start on bedtime. And then the next day was Sunday. So our last day at Hollywood Studios, which is, I think, the closest park to Art of Animation. So it was really nice that we were able to get there and get home pretty quickly with the dedicated buses. And we did have a Disney Junior Vine and Dine reservation for breakfast that day. And my husband will tell you that that was his favorite meal because they have the make-your-own omelet station. And then, of course, the characters that my son loves, from Jake to Doc McStuffins. I'm kind of surprised that they still have Handy Manny because I don't think that that's been on the air for a while.
Yeah, so what time was your breakfast reservation?
I think it was 8:35.
Okay, so that's before the park opened?
Yes.
Sometimes they change the hours to 8 a.m., but I think on your day it was 9 a.m.
It was, yeah. So that was the extra magic hour that day, 8 a.m. was.
Oh, okay. So the park was open to on-site guests, and then you were eating at Hollywood and Vine.
Right.
Okay. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I'm a sucker for a make-your-own omelet station, too, and I think that would make Hollywood and Vine a lot better because their food overall is kind of mediocre, but an omelet station is hard to pass up.
Right. And we considered doing the Fantasmic package for, like, lunch later on at the same restaurant, but we ended up doing Mamma Mia Fantasmic package, and the only reservation that they had available, and this is one we booked a little bit later on, was Mamma Mia for, like, 11:30, and so none of us were hungry. My husband will also say that was his favorite lunch meal. They had great vegetable lasagna. Mm-hmm. And then I got a Buzz Lightyear drink for my son, and we got to go samplers of dessert. So I took that back to the room and was munching on that the rest of the day. And then for the fact that we had the Fantasmic preferred seating was definitely worth it.
Well, it sounds like the food at Hollywood Studios was a success for your family.
It definitely was, yes.
What about the touring? I assume that you probably had a fast pass for Toy Story Mania.
We did. Yep. So, something happened where our Toy Story Mania and Frozen sing-along fast passes got messed up. So when they reinstated them on the app, it didn't have a time anymore. So we were thrilled about that because we knew the day was packed. We knew how things had been going with the toddler here and there. So we did have, one other fast pass. What was the other one that day? Oh, Hollywood Hotel of Terror. So that one came later in the evening, and we had to use it during that specific time. But the other two were just at any time, so we just kind of did them as we needed. So after the breakfast at Disney Junior Vine and Dine, we watched the Star Wars Stormtrooper March and the Galaxy Far, Far Away show, which was a big hit for my Star Wars loving family. Mm-hmm. And we went to the Visa meet and greet and met Kylo Ren, which I thought would be frightening for my toddler, but he seemed to get along with it just fine.
He is a brave little guy.
Yeah, definitely. And then we headed over to see the Jedi training on our way to the Mamma Mia. And so he wasn't big enough to be in that, but he liked watching it just as much as he did the other shows. So it was fun to see all those kids. And it looked like those PhotoPass photographers were doing a great job at capturing a lot of the interactions those kids had.
Yeah. So someday maybe your son will get to do that.
Yes, for sure.
That would be nice.
We also met Olaf on our way there, and there wasn't a long line for that. And Olaf is at the beach, and it smells like the beach in there, which I thought was really interesting and very Disney.
Mm-hmm.
I think they pump probably coconuts or some type of like scent into the area.
Yeah, and you didn't have much of a wait for that probably, right?
No, yeah, that's why we ran in there really quick, because it said like 10 or 15 minutes, so
yeah,
wasn't a wait at all.
He's easy. It's funny because in the early days when Frozen first came out, it was Olaf wasn't in the parks, and Anna and Elsa had a 4-hour, 5-hour wait. And now, as you found out, they're very easy to meet.
They are, yeah. So that was exciting. We did do the Frozen sing-along. I think that for me as an adult was underwhelming because I would rather see characters put on a show, and it was kind of like I can stick a sing-along disc in my DVD player. And like my son liked it, and they did do the snow. And so they had a little bit extra with Olaf coming out talking about the holiday and doing a little song with that. So it was worth it to see that.
Yeah, they just added that on because Olaf's adventure, the short is playing before the Coco movie. So right. they've added a little bit on to the Frozen sing-along. So that's cute.
Yes. And there was plenty of Coco stuff, obviously, all over the parks, in all of the restaurants and gift shops and talking about Coco. So it was cool to see that and get kind of a preview of what's coming with that movie.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you had thought about, or that you did get the Fantasmic package at Mamma Mia. So that means you were at the park until late, into the evening, that you could watch the show. So yes. Does that mean no break today, or did you take a break and come back?
We did take a break, and my in-laws stayed, who are big Star Wars fans, so they spent most of their time doing Star Wars stuff while we were gone, and we made sure to get my son a nap so that he could enjoy the Fantasmic time. As soon as we got back to the park, we ran over to Toy Story Mania and used our Fast Pass there, and then we had to make it for our Hollywood Hotel of Terror drop ride. And again, my in-laws opted out. I wanted to try the rider switch with them, and they said, no, we don't want to ride it. So perhaps I should have discussed that with them more ahead of time. But they just were willing to kind of take my son and go do some more of the Star Wars stuff since he liked it. So I noticed that the app didn't always have all of the characters on it. So I'd be looking to see who's available where, but we would walk by and saw that you could meet Star-Lord and Groot. So my son did that. I think met Chewbacca, BB-8, all of that while we did the Tower of Terror.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of good options there.
And then we saw Fantasmic, which was wonderful. And I know that also can be one that can be scary for children because there's a lot of focus on the villains. But with all the water, the fire, the bam, pow, that's he walked out of Fantasmic going bam, bam, pow, pow. So I think he had a great time seeing the interaction between the good guys and the bad guys.
Yeah, good for him, because there's one part in particular that gets a little dark and scary and ominous, but if you can make it through that, it's a fun show. So yeah. That is the end of your last park day, right? Because the next day was your departure day. Yes. Anything of note about your departure and how that went?
So we still had those meal passes that we were trying to use up. My husband converted our the bigger pass, like the not the quick service, but the bigger meal service into a quick service, and then decided to just convert it down to snack credits. We had like one quick service left that we thought we'd try for breakfast. And we knew we had to leave for the buses just a little after 7 to get to the airport for our early flight. So we knew that the cafeteria opened at 6. So he runs down just after 6 and they don't start serving breakfast till 7. So we used the last snack credits just to get quick snack breakfast that day instead. So that's something I probably could have prepared for a little bit more, not realizing that they didn't serve breakfast till 7.
So Mike picked you up on your, when you arrived, but you took Magical Express when you left.
We did. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. I just didn't really want to wait when we arrived because I didn't know how long they might take to get, you know, enough people on the bus to take for it to be worth taking the trip. But usually when you leave, I felt like it would be quicker, which it was.
Did you check your bags at the resort?
No, because it was so early in the morning. I mean, we just brought the bags right with us, but we would have checked them if we would have had a later flight or anything to spend more time at the resort or going to Disney Springs or something.
Right. Okay. So I have a couple of things written down that I wanted to ask you about. The dining plan overall, like I know that at the end you had some extra credits, but how did you feel about it? And how effective or worth the money was it for your trip?
I think it was worth it. We always have a hard time thinking about, like, how do we use credits here or there for snacks and how do we lay this all out? We didn't know what was coming with that California Grill situation. But all in all, I think that it was worth it. We did buy a couple of extra, like, sides or meals for my son because although he's, you know, free under 3, you don't need to buy the dining plan, and he just eats off our plates. He didn't always want to eat what I wanted to eat and vice versa. So, you know, I'd get him a little bit extra. Most of the cast members were pretty forgiving about things. Like if I'd get breakfast and add one of those like applesauce packs, they wouldn't charge me for that. And they'd give him drinks at almost every meal and they wouldn't charge us for that. So that was definitely a plus. And we went to so many character meals that I think we got our money's worth out of the dining package.
Yeah, that's a good general rule. If you're going to character meals, dining plan is usually a good financial decision. What about Memory Maker? Did you think you got enough pictures to make that one worth it?
Yeah, I think so. I logged in. We have around 300 pictures. And so working on downloading those. We did that photo booth thing at Disney Springs, which was a lot of fun. And just the pictures that they got that were, like you say, more candid of my son were more exciting, you know, because I wasn't able to take those pictures. And it's right when he's meeting some of his favorite characters. So that was worth it.
And I have a note to ask you about pack and play and stroller. I don't remember why did I write that down. Did you use a pack and play?
Yes. And that was something I was concerned about from planning the trip so far ahead of time, not knowing like how big your child will be, if they're going to be in or out of a crib by then. And so that was something I was just so worried about as a parent. We ended up having a pack and play and stroller driven by my in-laws. So we didn't have to rent one. My son is still in the crib. The pack and play worked out really well for him. One day he did nap in our big bed. All of that worked out well. I said in the beginning, that he hates a stroller. So he definitely wasn't fond of sitting in it very often. And we did do a lot of carrying him around. So I'm glad that we didn't spend money renting a stroller because of that situation.
Right. Okay. That must be why I said to ask, because you weren't sure how it was going to work out. Okay. And now looking forward, what do you think your future plans will be for your family in terms of visiting Disney World?
We definitely want to go back, but much more on the timeline of when my son can care more for himself. Like, if I knew that I was only going to take one trip to Disney, I would not take a toddler, and I would not recommend somebody to take a toddler. And I think everybody just needs to know your own kid. Like, if you have trouble getting your kid up and out the door in the morning, then you might have trouble getting him to do all of the things that he needs to do, get in this line and get ready for this bus and all of that. So that can be a struggle. But, you know, seeing them light up at all the characters and the shows is definitely worth it. And you still had a lot of fun. So I think, you know, we're excited about the Star Wars that's being built and, of course, Toy Story. So once those are fully going and probably more towards 5 to 8, when he still can do the Jedi training, we will plan to come back.
Yeah, and 5 to 8 is really fun because, you know, they're still little, but they're not too little.
Yes, they are potty trained enough to where, you know, it's not just on his own terms of he's only going to go when he's got to go, instead of, hey, we have an hour, so you have to go because during this hour we will be busy.
Yes.
And then that's kind of how it went. As far as potty training goes, though, post-it notes, I know that has probably been a quick tip or recommended in the past, and it's something I thought about, but I didn't bring them with me because he's been in public restrooms, you know, here at home, and there's been no problem, but he was definitely terrified of all of the potties. So even in our resort. So once I had told my husband, you know, hey, I heard this tip that we were supposed to put these post-it notes on. He went to the front desk at the resort like every day and asked for post-it notes. And one day, and it wasn't the same person we'd see every day, but they gave us like a whole book of them. So it was really nice. And one of the cleaning crew cast members in the bathrooms actually said to my mother-in-law, that's such a smart idea. I'm going to start telling people to do that. We should like pass those out in the bathroom because every day I see kids crying and screaming because they're so terrified of these toilets. So that is a great tip to have those post-it notes with you. And we started even putting them on the one at the resort, even though it doesn't have a sensor, because he just wanted the paper there every time we went potty. And the ones at the resort are actually quite loud and scary. So he'd be like, do not flush it till I leave. And so that was how we rolled with the toilets.
Yeah, that's a good reminder. But yeah, because you said even at home, you've used the automatic toilets, but there's something about the Disney ones. They're very powerful.
They are.
They're very loud. And that's so scary when you're just a tiny person.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you for talking to me right after you got back. And really loved hearing about your trip and excited that you'll be going back someday.
Yes. And I hope others with toddlers still feel empowered to go, because it is fun, even though I described a lot of hardships during the time. It's just how it is.
That's just how it is when you have toddlers.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, Kimberly.
Thanks, Shannon. Bye-bye.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed hearing from Kimberly about how their November trip went. I do have a quick tip of the day before you wrap it up. And this one was emailed by Kay. And she says, there's nothing worse than everyone getting all excited to ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train with a fast pass and then seeing disappointed faces because the ride is closed because of continued heavy rain and thunderstorms, as bad weather is more likely to occur in the afternoon in Florida. My tip is that if you have no time constraints around planning your fast passes, try to schedule any rides with outdoor elements for the earlier part of the day to avoid the likelihood of disruption to your touring plans. Happy faces all around. So thank you for that, Kay. It's a really good idea. And I guess that would apply to anything that goes outdoors. So that could be Test Track, Expedition Everest, etc. So good tip. Thank you, Kay, for that. I think that will wrap up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, you can check the show notes in your podcasting app, or you can go to the website, wdwprepschool.com. Look for podcasts at the top and then episode 159. Until next time, I will see you on the site.